So today we're going to look at walking in love. Okay? Let's see. And we will start in Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, be therefore followers, imitators of God as dear children. Verse 2, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor, which is well-pleasing to God. So God's word shows us how to walk in love throughout his word, and we'll see some of that as we look into this today. In Matthew 22, Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is, like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So we love our neighbors as ourselves, as we would be loved by walking in love. Let's go to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, verse 10. I see fingers scrolling on phones going to that verse. Okay, Romans 13, 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Well, how about that? That summarizes in a pretty big way. Don't work ill. Don't do bad things to your neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law, just like Jesus said. Love is the fulfilling of the law. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, there's this passage that shows us seven things the love of God is and nine things the love of God is not. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and it's verses 4 through 7. So we'll look at a few verses related to each of these qualities. So we'll start in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. Charity, which is the love of God, suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. In verse 5, doth not behave itself unseemly. We're going to learn what some of these words mean when we get into the depth of this, okay? Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, and thinketh no evil. Verse 6, rejoiceth not in an iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. And in verse 7, love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. So four short verses full of God's wisdom, and we'll take a look at each of these qualities. The first quality we'll look at is from verse 4, charity suffereth long. And let's turn to Lamentations chapter 3. So Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. There we go. I hear pages turning, so we'll wait. There you go. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 25. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. And the Amplified translation of that verse, the Lord is good to those who wait hopefully and expectantly for him, to those who seek him. Love patiently endures. Sometimes patience is putting up with people. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. I'll start in verse 8, Colossians 3, 8. There we go. Yep, I still hear pages. Colossians 3, 8. Okay. We need to be sitting down for this one. Be now ye also put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Don't do any of those things. Wrong words. Verse 9, lie not to one another, seeing that ye have put off the old man, the sin nature man, with his deeds. Verse 12, put on, therefore, as the elect, the chosen of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, which are compassions, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, which is patience. Verse 13, forbearing one another, putting up with each other, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. In verse 14, above all these things, put on charity, which is agape love, which is the bond of perfectness. Love is the perfect bond that binds all these things together. Love completes them. Okay? Let's look at James chapter 1. And we'll go to verse 4. James 1, verse 4. Okay? James chapter 1, verse 4. But let patience, or endurance, have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting, lacking, nothing. The New English Translation says it this way, and let endurance have its perfect effect, so that you will be perfect and complete, not deficient in anything. Okay? Long-suffering, patience, benefits us. I'll just read this these very familiar couple of verses here. We glory in tribulation also, knowing the tribulation work of patience, patience experience, and experience hope. We come out at the end of a situation, and we're delivered, and that's our hope, that we will always be delivered. So those are from Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. The next quality here, the love of God is kind. Let's go to Romans chapter 12 and verse 9. I'm going to read these verses from Walter Cummins' Working Translation. Okay. Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 9, we'll go up through verse 16. Verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor the evil, cleave to the good. Be tenderly affectionate in brotherly love to one another. Take the lead in showing honor to one another. Do not be sluggish in diligence. Be fervent in the things of the Spirit, serving the Lord. In verse 12, rejoice in the hope. Be patient in affliction. Give persistent attention to prayer. Verse 13, share with the needs of the holy sanctified ones, pursuing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Think the same thing toward one another. Do not think lofty things, but accommodate yourselves to the humble ways. Do not rely on your own intellect. And I like how the King James Version ends verse 16. Be not wise in your own conceits. Okay? Humility. Humility is very important. Okay. Here we go. I'll just read this verse we've already read. Once again from Romans 13:10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 10:32. These three categories of people has always jumped out of this verse at me. That's all I really saw. Oh, God just defined everybody. There's Jews, there's Gentiles, and there's the Church of God. But the point of the verse is the beginning of it. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the Church of God. So don't offend anybody. Just don't. Don't offend anyone, okay? Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And we'll start in verse 29, go through verse 32. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, or building up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, that can mean slander, also bickering, clamor, we're learning a new word today, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So, biblical kindness is an active benevolence in spite of any ingratitude, a sweetness of disposition that we exhibit. Okay? We don't offend and we don't take offense. Okay? Still back to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, charity envieth not. So envy is an earnest, heated desire that can get people worked up. Let's go ahead and look at this. Psalm 73, verse 3. Psalm 73. Psalm 73 and verse 3. Okay, there we are. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And then verse 17 of Psalm 73, we'll just skip right past to verse 17. I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. So the sanctuary of God is our refuge, our safe place. Calms us down, gives us peace, and we can go there anytime we choose to. So I'm going to the sanctuary of God, okay? I'm going to keep myself in, God's going to keep me in peace. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 31. Proverbs. Okay. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 31. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. The contemporary English version says it this way. Have you really seen the contemporary English version much? It's real straightforward. Don't be jealous of cruel people or follow their example. There's a lot of the verses that are just direct like that. I enjoy looking at those. Okay, another quality from 1 Corinthians 13, 4, charity vaunteth not. E.W. Bollinger translates vaunteth as to show oneself a boaster or a braggart. Let's look at Acts chapter 3. And we'll start in verse 6. This is the record of Peter and John ministering to the lame man at the gate of the temple. And silver and gold have I done, such as I get be healed. Well, we'll read it here. Acts chapter 3, verse 6. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him, the lame man, by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. In verse 10, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And then verse 12, and when Peter saw it, He answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? So not man's glory, but God's glory. Not Peter and John's own power, but God's power. Peter and John did not vaunt or boast of themselves. Okay. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You know, this is just a quick, well, we'll go there. We already started to go there. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 33. Verse 10, I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 33. Even as I, Paul, please all men and all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. And I'll just read these two familiar verses because it has to do with this. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Okay? Don't vaunt yourself. Don't be puffed up. Don't boast. Okay? Oh, look at the next one. Charity is not puffed up. Let's look at that one. Okay? Bollinger calls it inflated, or larger than it was supposed to be. To rashly boast out of self-importance. Keyword, self. Okay? Oh, the Latin word for the letter I, you've heard this a million times, is ego. The Latin word for the letter I is ego, as in ego trip, as in egomaniac. Yikes! Don't be one of those, okay? Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 29. I'm sorry, chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9, and verse 23. Okay, here we go. Verse 23, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory or be puffed up in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches. Verse 24, let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. And let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And this will sum up this section for us nicely. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. Okay, there we are. Now, as touching things, it's food in this case, offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. In parentheses, man's knowledge, what a man thinks he knows. But knowledge puffeth up, charity edifieth. Okay? A man's worldly knowledge can lead him to boast to others about how wise and important he thinks he is. He can do that. Let's look at some words Jesus spoke. Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. This is Jesus speaking to the multitude and to his disciples. Matthew 23, verse 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Verse 3. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders. But they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. Verse 5, but all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries. Anybody needs the spelling of that afterwards, I'll be happy to show you. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. and loved the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and meeting and greetings in the markets and to be called of men Rabbi, Rabbi. So phylacteries were supposed to be small leather boxes containing pieces of parchment with scripture written on them. These were strapped to, this is according to Merriam and Webster's dictionary, these phylacteries were going to be strapped to the left arm or to the forehead with a headband in obedience to Deuteronomy chapter 11. We'll come back to Matthew 23, but let's go ahead and look at this. We don't see this very often. Deuteronomy, keep your finger here in Matthew, but go to Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 18. Way back there, the book of Moses. Deuteronomy 11, verse 18. It says, therefore, shall you lay up these my words, my commandments, in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be frontlets between your eyes. Okay? Put them between your eyes. What that verse does not say, make them big to make yourself look more important. I was getting a mind picture of this, and so they've got this thing between their frontlets of their eyes. I wonder if they ever wanted to make them really big and they couldn't see and they had to be led around, you know, with one hand going like this, you know, because they were religious. So that's a little bit on phylacteries. But back to Matthew chapter 23 and then verse 12. And I'm just going to read the Amplified version of this. Whosoever exalts himself with haughtiness and empty pride shall be humbled, brought low. And whoever humbles himself, whoever has a modest opinion of himself and behaves accordingly, shall be raised to honor. Okay? Now into 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Love is not unseemly. Here we're going to learn what unseemly means. Young translate this as to behave disgracefully, disorderly, proudly, strangely. And the Amplified version expands on this. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Okay? Familiar verse we've seen many times, 1 Corinthians 14:40, let all things be done decently and in order. Don't act crazy. You ever notice the college football fans in the stands at those football games and the camera pans across the stands and all those students start acting real crazy? And, you know, it reminded me of this verse. they're like out of their minds. They're insane. Okay. Also in 1 Corinthians 13:5, love seeketh not her own. This one I'll just read. We've looked at it many times. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Okay. Let's look at the Gospel of John chapter 5. Gospel of John chapter 5 and verse 30. Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 30. I, Jesus, can of my own self do nothing. As I hear from the Father, in parentheses, from the Father, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. And then look at also in John, chapter 7, verse 18. A couple of pages over. John 7:18. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. So we're just hearing this over and over and over, and God just keeps telling us this, you know, throughout his whole word. We are not to seek our own glory, foolishly looking unto ourselves as being wise, we seek God's glory. Okay. Agape love is not easily provoked. Let's go to Psalm chapter, let's go to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Psalm 37 and verse 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Chapter 7, verse 9. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom, in the heart of fools. Okay? Foolish to be angry. Look at what we read this earlier. No, sorry. I'll just read this. Ephesians 4, 26. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Okay, we've seen that verse lots of times. And we also read Colossians 3, 8 earlier, and it applies here as well. But now ye also put off all these, in case you didn't get them the first time, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Okay. Let's look at James chapter 1, verse 19. James chapter 1. And verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And back to the Amplified version, or the Amplified translation again. Understand this, my beloved brethren, let every man be quick to hear, a ready listener, slow to speak, slow to take offense and get angry. Okay? Don't get angry. Don't be angry. back from 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5, agape love thinketh no evil. Thinketh here is the Greek word logizomai, from which we get logic. We should not judge others or impute or reckon evil to another's account. God does the judging, not ourselves, out of our own logic or reasoning. And then let's go to Romans chapter 12. And verse 17 through the end of the chapter. I'm sorry. That's right. Sorry. Romans chapter 12, verse 17 through 21. Render to no one evil for evil. Make thoughtful provision for good things in the presence of all people. If possible, from your standpoint, live in peace with all people. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but give place to wrath, to the wrath to come, for it has been written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him to drink. By doing this, you will heap coals of fire upon his head. Do not be overcome by the evil, but overcome the evil with the good. Okay? Heaping coals of fire upon one's head warmed that person who distributed these coals in their village so that everyone could cook and be warm. Okay? Agape love rejoices not in iniquity, rejoices not in injustice, but rejoices in the truth. This is from Bollinger again. He translates iniquity as a violation, a non-observance, or transgression of the law. Let's look at Psalm 141. A couple of verses there. 141, Psalm 141. And verse 4. Psalm 141, verse 4. Okay. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity. I love this. And let me not eat of their dainties. I looked all over the place to get a full explanation of this, but another translation has it as their delicacies. Well, here's our friend, the contemporary English version again, verse 4. Don't let me want to do evil or waste my time doing wrong with wicked people. Don't let me even taste the good things they offer. Okay. Verse 9, 141, verse 9. Keep me from the snares which they have laid for me, and the gins or the traps of the workers of iniquity. We can pray for deliverance for all this stuff. Anytime we see it crop its evil little head up. So don't be tempted to participate with men that work iniquity. Okay? Let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Second Thessalonians chapter 3 in verse 1. Okay. Second Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. Verse 2, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Verse 3, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. So our joy and rejoicing comes from the truth of God and his word, and not in the iniquity of others. We are to have heartfelt excitement in God, his son, and his word, to rejoice in the truth. And then the last of those four verses in 1 Corinthians 13, this is verse 7, the first part of it, truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. It's the full verse. Now, the word all in the Bible is used in one of two ways, without exception or with a distinction, with a qualification. So all of the all in verse 7 is with a distinction and refers to to truth. In verse 6, we are exhorted to bear, believe, hope, and endure all things according to God's truth. Okay? The first one there, beareth, it's an interesting word. We might think it means to bear or shoulder a burden or to lift a heavy load, but the word that beareth in the King James Version was translated from way back in 1611 is stego, S-T-E-G-O. And it means roof. In Matthew chapter 8, the centurion, speaking with Jesus, answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. The Greek word there is stege, S-T-E-G-E. It's a form of stego. So to bear it here in jolly old England back in the 1600s is the roof. So what does that mean when we put a roof on something? Bollinger defines beareth as follows: to cover closely, to keep off, to fend off, to cover over, to shelter, to protect. What are we covering over? What are we protecting here? Further, Dr. Joseph Thayer, in his Greek-English lexicon of the New Testament, defines beareth as to protect or keep by covering, to preserve, to cover with silence. Walter Cummins has it, put a roof on it, put a lid on it. And what this goes is saying bad things about other people, you know. So what are we to cover? To preserve with silence. Well, gossip that emphasizes details that could damage another's reputation. Something that happened that is unseemly, something that would hurt a person's reputation if it were known. To bear with all things is to cover such things with silence. Look at Proverbs chapter 10. And we'll go to verse 12 there. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12. Mm-hmm. Okay. Proverbs 10, verse 12, hatred stirreth up stripes, but love covereth all sins. There it is. It doesn't say beareth, it says covers, which is what it means. Love covereth all sins. And here's the contemporary English version of verse 12. Hatred stirs up trouble. Love overlooks the wrongs that others do. Okay. Next proverb, Proverbs 11, verse 13. Proverbs 11, 13. Okay. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a fruitful spirit concealeth the matter. The English Standard Version has Proverbs 11, 13 this way. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirits keeps a thing covered. There it is again, covered. Look at Proverbs 17 and verse 9. Proverbs 17:9. It's going to cover it again. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. Contemporary English Version, you'll keep your friends if you forgive them, but you will lose your friends if you keep talking about what they did wrong. So what don't you do on teaching strict but completely only out of Contemporary English Version? That would be fun. Anyhow, look at 1 Timothy chapter 5. And verse 13. 1 Timothy 5:13. First Timothy 5:13. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. Tattlers and busybodies, both in the same verse. You know about that. And the next chapter of 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy 6, verse 3. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3. If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, verse 4, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings. Bollinger translates railings here as the very worst kind of slander, defamation. So clamor is used for slander as well, but the railings is a worst case version of slander. Revealing negative things about a person's only worse. Okay, so not covering with silence and slander are both intended to harm a person's reputation, to make a person look bad to other people. Continuing in verse 5, 1 Timothy 6:5, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. So we love our neighbor as ourselves, we judge not, but we don't hang out with just anyone. There are some people we just don't hang out with, you know. We can still pray for them, we can still love them, okay? Okay, just a few more here. Love believes all things that are true. And this is from Bullinger, translates truth as the manifested, veritable, true essence of a matter. Very familiar verse, 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God's word is truth. Another familiar one here, I'll just read this. John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Every word Jesus ever spoke was truth. He never lied. Every single word in his whole life. Okay. Ephesians 4:25. I think we looked at this already, but wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Okay? Love hopes all things in the truth. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3 in verse 20. Chapter 3, verse 20. Philippians says, for our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5, we were just there, but so I'll just read this. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting, the hope for Christ. The hope of Christ's return energizes our believing. We see throughout the Bible that Jesus will return to gather us who are believers in the truth together. This is our hope, Christ's return. And then finally, love endureth all things in the truth. Love remains steadfast, patiently enduring in spite of difficulty. And we'll close in James chapter 1, verse 12. James chapter 1, verse 12. Okay. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So that's what I wanted to share. Those are some of God's wisdom for walking in love. There's more. It's all throughout his book. So I'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your wonderful, matchless word. We are just amazed at the depth of your truth. And thank you so much for showing us your wisdom and your way to walk in love. And we thank you for all these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.